Tinder has a new super like feature. Kill yourself. The Pope hits America bringing tough love, making me nervous. After week two in the NFL, there's panic in Indianapolis, there's panic in Philadelphia, there's panic in New York, and there's panic at the disco. This is Sports Without Balls.
Holy cow!
A perfect score. 10.2.
He had to the 2-0, now the 2-1. Line drive!
Hello again, everyone. This is
Sports Without Balls. Dun, 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 dun. Hey, you guys, Sports Without Balls, fans, friends, family. This is Aaron Foley, your host of all things sporty, mixed sporty spice. I can't wait for this episode to get rolling. I think technically it's already rolling because I have a guest in the studio who I started the show with. And every week I go, hey, can you come back? Hey, do you want to do? Hey, but she tours all over. She's very famous, very popular. Please welcome Rebecca Corey.
Oh my God. Yay! Thank you for having me. I'm thrilled that I could be here off my 3-gig-a-year tour.
You are constantly leaving.
Yeah, 3 times a year I head out and I make $45 and I get 2 Twitter followers. I'm so happy to be here. Love these microphones.
Aren't they awesome?
Oh my. And just love everything that you've done. I'm here. I'm so happy about it.
We are at the All Things Comedy Studio. Shout out to All Things Comedy, allthingscomedy.com, podcasts, live stand-up shows, soft gray t-shirts. We've got Aaron fact-checking / running all the studio today.
Aaron, while you're fact-checking, could you look into how many calories a 4'11", 44-year-old woman should eat per day in order to lose 0.5 pound per week? Get back to me.
Are you on a sports diet, Rebecca?
I'm just trying. I have the metabolism of a bag of hair. Shout out to my parents for the DNA. And I just breathe in a scent and gain 4 pounds. I'm disgusting.
First of all,
Now that we have a fact checker, I didn't know he was going to be fact checking.
Well, no, Carol's the fact checker.
Where is she, by the way?
She's underneath the couch. You know what it is? We're recording in the morning. It's 10 a.m. And Carol, she just gets exhausted.
Yeah, she's on Benadryl.
She's on Benadryl and Mad Dog. She says it's Crohn's disease.
I don't think so. I think it's more like lupus. Tell me, Crohn's.
So you know, sick. Rebecca and I, we started this wonderful podcast in the 60s.
We did.
And Carol's been there since day one.
She has. Well, on and off. There was that blackout.
When she went to Vegas and met her husband. Do you know she's married?
No.
She got married. I didn't get invited.
Okay.
She eloped. She eloped and she eloped in Vegas. It turns out when she wasn't fact checking, what was happening is she was playing online poker.
Oh.
Won a whole bunch of money. Went to Vegas and met her husband small blind.
How much did she win?
She won $26.
Okay.
Well, she won $26,000 and then blew it on Benadryl and Mad Dog.
Okay. Well.
Yeah. Also in the studio today, if I may.
Please.
Say, is Angel. Angel.
Angel.
Is Rebecca Corey's most adorable pit bull of all time.
Uh-huh.
And while we have mics in front of us, tell everybody.
I was looking
Santa
for mic.
Pets.
When you said that, I was just looking for a mic.
There's no mic here. There's just microphones.
Right.
Now, part of the reason why you're never available is because you're doing a fantastic show called Stand Up for Pits. So tell the listeners about that.
Well, Stand Up for Pits is a live event that I take around the country. I do between 5 and 7 cities a year. Last year I did 5 cities, but I also run a nonprofit foundation called the Stand Up for Pits Foundation, which is growing much quicker than I can handle. And it turns out it's an enormous responsibility. And so in addition to the live events around the country, I'm also operating and funding a dogfighting tip line for Los Angeles County and surrounding areas serving 12 million people.
It's amazing.
And I'm running a nonprofit foundation educating, advocating, and saving the lives of pit bull type dogs. Angel, Angel is the inspiration for all of it. She's shaped and feels like a hippo.
She is a hippo. The velvet hippo.
She is, but she absolutely worships this show.
Yep.
And one Aaron Foley. As a matter of fact, when we saw you at your day of birthday.
And my birthday 2 weeks ago.
Angel walked through, we're in the big, in a huge bar, and Angel was walking past all these people, kind of like a mayor. She's like a mayor.
Angel City Brewery. Shout out to Angel City Brew in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Fantastic place to celebrate your birthday.
It really, and they're totally dog friendly. And
totally
and
dog friendly.
People friendly. I saw all kinds of people there.
Nice people.
Yeah. And so we were walking through, and Angel was like making eye contact briefly with people. And then through the sea of humans, she sees you. And sprints, and by sprinting, I mean almost slow motion.
It was like a slow gallop.
And ran right into your arms.
It was, it melted my heart.
Some ice.
It melted. I sometimes, you know, just because it's hard to date, I have a little bit of an iceberg in front
I
of my heart.
I don't believe it's melted. Hard to date. When you say that, I was pounding on the table.
It's okay.
You always have a lot going on.
I do. I'm juggling multiple people. I'm kidding. physically, if the camera was on me, I'm juggling people. I'm exact. It is hard. It's hard to date. What? It's hard to date.
You
it's
do pretty well. I haven't dated in 4.5 years.
Yes, but that's because you're touring the country and you don't leave your apartment a lot.
Well, it's the latter of the two.
I find it hard to date because there's so many sports on.
Uh-huh.
I basically started watching I kind of exercise early in the morning and I start watching ESPN around 7 a.m.
Wait, so you're exercising at what, 4? 4:30?
I started getting up a little bit earlier with my sister, and I have a bad back, so I've been taking it slow.
Great.
I'm in a rehab type of back thing.
What are you doing for exercise?
Well, that's the thing. I can't really do much, so I've just been doing back exercises and brisk walking. Super boring, but that's all I got right now. I think I can start bike riding in about a week.
What do you listen when you brisk walk? Dolly Parton?
This
Kenny
morning,
Rogers? What do we got on the...
Well, yeah. But this morning, you know what I listened to?
What?
Ryan Adams' cover, entire album cover of Taylor Swift's 1989. It is so good.
Are you serious?
I am dead serious.
Is that legal
it came
to
out
make a cover
yesterday.
Of that?
It came out
really?
Yesterday. I downloaded the entire album. First of all,
I'm shocked.
That album is so good, it's ridiculous.
What?
I am all on board with Taylor Swift.
I don't know. Things just got weird.
Yes, brisk walking to Ryan Adams covers of Taylor Swift. It's a great pop album. And you know my obsession with pop music.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm very rarely at a loss for words, but it's uncomfortable. It feels weird.
I was listening to my little pop.
Okay.
And then I came back and I started watching First Take, Mike and Mike, Sports Center. I can't stop.
Okay.
Rebecca.
I'm proud of you. I mean, we all have our things. I love Kate. I am Kate.
Yep. Do you watch that?
Oh, yeah. Every
single
episode.
It's really good. Is it so good because it's just so cheesy and bad, even though it's highlighting a marginalized community, I think, in a positive way.
It's still
the Kardashians.
It still walks, to me, it walks a very, very, very fine gray line of exploitation.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that uneasiness keeps me watching.
Yeah.
Also, I thought Bruce Jenner was a douche canoe when he was on the Kardashians.
Yeah.
And as a woman, she is also a douche canoe.
Yeah.
So... It's just a.
Maybe I'll start watching.
Yeah, I would.
I would, just so I can use the phrase douche canoe. I remember you said that a couple months ago and I was losing my mind.
Yeah, twat waffle's another one that you can borrow.
Wow.
Sure.
Twat waffle and douche canoe.
You're welcome.
Wow.
You're
America,
welcome.
Sports Without Balls fans, douche canoe and twat waffle.
You're welcome, America.
You know, this is a perfect intro into a sports story. By the way, Sports Without Balls fans, this is what we're going to do for this episode. Two nights ago, we did a live Sports Without Balls with Jeff Garland and Trish Sir, part of the LA Podcast Festival. It was fantastic. Aaron was there.
Yes.
And
factually correct.
Factually correct. And I think we might air that this week. I don't know if I can get my hands on the recording this week or next week, whatever. So Rebecca and I are doing sports stories. We're not doing stats. We're not going to pick apart games. We'll get back to that next week. We're doing I compiled some really great random stories because Rebecca makes me pee my pants and I want her her opinion on all of these.
Also, when you say stats, that suggests numbers. I have a seventh grade math level.
Okay.
Let's steer clear.
Yeah, let's steer clear.
Okay.
And so we'll go in and out of sports, in and out of stories. But when you said douche canoe, I immediately thought of this story, and that is Donald Trump commenting on football. Talk about the definition of a douche canoe.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
R.I.P. Scott Walker. He dropped out of the race yesterday.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Oh, it's a clown show.
It's a clown
It's
car.
A clown show.
It's a clown
yeah.
show. And the fact that there's a woman, which is always for me, I do everything in my life to support women, physically, mentally, and emotionally, and spiritually.
Great.
And we get Carly. She's the worst.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She's got a face underneath her face.
She could peel back her face and reveal a face.
Yes.
But it would look exactly like the face she peeled back.
Yep.
Yeah.
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 Does she support other women or just she? I know, I'm not going to get into this. This is just 10 seconds and I'll get right back to sports. But I cannot get my head around female Republicans, a party that does not support your gender.
Yeah.
How do you, like when women go, I'm so excited to get into Congress and get things going for half the pay?
Right.
Are you fucking kidding
yeah,
me?
I know it.
Douche canoe, D. Trump comments on, he was taking questions.
Yeah.
One of the questions was, is Joe Flacco an elite quarterback? And Donald Trump said yes. It's the first time I've ever agreed with Donald Trump, quarterback of the Baltimore Ravens.
And he's correct?
He's correct. I think Joe Flacco is an elite quarterback. The dude won a Super Bowl.
But did he expand on his...
This is the whole point.
Yeah.
He was asked two questions. Is Joe Flacco an elite quarterback?
Yeah.
And in Donald Trump style, he just goes, yeah. Yeah, I think he is. I think he is. And that was the end of it. Fine. But here's the ultimate Donald Trump moment. The other question was Tony Romo, the quarterback of Dallas Cowboys, a couple days ago.
Previously married to Jessica Simpson.
Are they not married? No, no, they aren't married.
No.
They dated. They never got married.
Correct.
Yeah.
They dated. Yeah. Yeah.
He's married to like another blonde, I think, TV news person in Dallas.
With a large
chest. I'm sure someone that looks plastic.
Sure.
Tony Romo broke his collarbone on Sunday.
Okay.
So he's going to be out a number of weeks. And they asked Donald Trump, you know, is this going to fold the Cowboy, ruin the Cowboy season? What do you think about his injury? And he literally answers the question like this. Oh, a terrible injury to Tony Romo. It's definitely a setback for the Dallas Cowboys. And then switches it to this. And he goes, Tom Brady, however, who recently endorsed me for president, having a great season. So good for Tom Brady, which wasn't the question. He just, in Donald Trump fashion, had to get out that Tom Brady endorsed him. How do you feel about that? Tom Brady endorsing Donald Trump.
I think it's right in line with how things should go. That's exactly sounds perfect to me.
It's perfect.
Every single time he's asked a question about anything, he always turns it back to who he says endorses him. He said, is it Ronda Rousey?
Rousey.
He talked about her, too, endorsing him, and she never did. Factually, she came out like a week later and said, no, I know I do not support him in any way, shape, or form. But just like, oh, she's a... I can't do a Donald Trump.
Yeah.
But you know how his mouth is always shaped like he has a penis in it? And he's like, you know, she really likes me, too. She really likes... I can't do
That's
it.
That's close.
Yeah,
that is close.
But she came out and said, nope.
Yeah.
Never said it.
Yeah.
Never said it.
It's that, and then we'll go into the Aaron Rodgers God comment, because I think religion and politics and sports is just, well, three of the most interesting things that I obsess about. But it's when it goes in, when they cross into each other, it gets real murky. But Tom Brady, now listen, I'm gonna say this, and I talk about him too much. He is so unlikable. But he's also one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time.
So correct.
I'm not talking about him, Tom Brady, on the field. I don't want to talk about Deflategate, although we have to roll the clip of Miss America, the future Miss America, talking about Deflategate.
Yeah, I'd like to see that.
But on the field, the champion, amazing. Is it asterisk, scroll down, you probably tweeted? Yeah. But anyway, You just get through Deflategate. No one likes the Patriots and Tom Brady unless you're a Patriots and Tom Brady supporter. And you've got a Donald Trump baseball hat. And he's asked a question. He's like,
no, he
yeah,
didn't.
Yeah.
Wait, he's wearing a Donald Trump baseball hat?
He has a Donald Trump baseball hat that he says is like a keepsake because they're friends and they went golfing together and Donald Trump gave him a hat. And he's like, yeah, you know, it's good memorabilia. And they're like, well, how would you feel if Donald Trump got in the White House? And he was like, yeah, it'd be great. No. Don't. If just even let's say you want Donald Trump in the White House.
Yeah.
As an athlete, I think you just go, you know what? May the best man win. Donald Trump and I like to golf together. And that would be fine.
I'm actually furious.
But endorsing Donald Trump.
Not okay. I'm furious. Would I still like to see him drop a penny and pick it up wearing nothing while I'm standing behind him in the harsh sunlight? Yes. Yes, I would. Yeah.
He's a beautiful man.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I'm sure from all angles there's not a downside.
No. Nope.
But I'm furious. I am.
I think, listen, I'm not saying athletes shouldn't express their opinions and stuff. But, like, I guess what I'm saying is this angle. Like, he's just so arrogant and unlikable to me, and then he endorses Donald Trump, who's such a misogynist, who like is like, I'm gonna put a wall over all around fucking Mexico. I'm like, Tom, have you read any bullet points of his policies?
They're so discriminatory
yeah. against so many people. And Tom Brady, who's like the face of the NFL, the old golden boy, is like, yeah, I think that'd be great. What a fucking douche.
Well, you know, I'm disappointed that he would support someone like that, orange face, weird hair. I can't even get past that. It's hard to hear him talk. I can't even get past.
Ugh.
I don't understand anything. I'm from an up angle. I saw a photo of him from an up angle. Donald Trump from an up angle. I don't know if you've ever seen a photo like that.
No, I haven't.
I don't know if anyone wants to Google that. I don't know if you're eating, but Google that image. That's rough to take. And,
wow.
But yeah, that's unfortunate. That's unfortunate.
Sliding it from politics into religion into sports.
Uh-oh.
2 days ago.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure when this episode will air. Well, this week or next week. Aaron Rodgers, who's just a dream, fantastic quarterback for the Green Bay Packers. They played Seattle on Sunday. Green Bay won. And in the post-game news conference, and this is beginning all this buzz, and people are saying it's, you know, have opinions both left and right. Did they take a little dig at Russell Wilson when he said, well, I guess, you know, tonight God was a Packers fan. Now, that is because last playoffs, when Seattle came back, beat Packers, Russell Wilson, the quarterback of Seattle, mm-hmm. is God, right? Mm-hmm. Knock yourself out. Mm-hmm. He's
Tebow
intense,
number two.
Yes, an intense Christian.
Uh-huh.
But he invokes God every 30 seconds, right?
Okay.
Which is not for me, uh-huh. but he's totally fine. He can do whatever he wants,
yeah.
right? That's totally acceptable. But when Aaron Rodgers took offense to that, he's like, listen, I don't, because Russell Wilson was like, I guess God was like, you know, wanted me to fail earlier in the game and then come back and bring this team to victory. Mm. And it's all, that's fine to say that. I'm saying like publicly,
okay.
you can't condemn that.
I don't know if I buy it. I don't know if I'm on board with that thought.
I'm totally not on board with that thought. But then Aaron Rodgers was like, you know, I don't think God has any factors into any outcome of a football game, right? So I guess that's like where it should have ended. And so they're saying this is an extra dig he took at, uh-huh. you know, Seattle. But like, I love that there's an uproar. Like, it's totally fine that like Russell Wilson can be like, God wanted this to happen. And then when you say, I actually don't think there's any correlation between God in a football game. Oh, that's unacceptable.
Yeah. Well, you know, 1 in 4 people have herpes, and when I think about the list of things God has to do, I think that football game is probably at the bottom.
When you're combating
herpes,
ISIS, tornadoes,
the supposed air quotes global warming. You know, I don't think that he had. I don't think he. I don't. I don't. Look, I'm not going to say he, and I'm assuming it's a he or she watches football. I don't know what what God is into. Maybe God's into air hockey.
Maybe.
Maybe God's into Icelandic sports. But the point is that I don't think that I feel like when people, whenever people say that about, I'm a huge Michael Jordan fan. I worship, yeah. I follow Michael Jordan's account on Instagram still. I worship Michael Jordan. Yeah. I want to make love to him.
Yeah.
I want to be inside of him.
Okay.
I don't ever remember, and I lived in Chicago during all of the championships. I don't ever remember Michael Jordan ever once giving glory to God or Allah.
Yeah.
Or the baby Jesus in a manger. Yeah. Ever, never once. I never remember Michael Jordan saying that. And I believe that he didn't do that because he – and maybe he did. If anyone – I could be wrong, but I watched everything. And
no.
Do you ever remember him saying
– No.
Okay.
Because I feel like this is a new trend. I feel like every 2 seconds it's like point up to heaven, God, 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 God. It's gotten real popular.
Is anybody saying, I want to thank God for putting me on the bench?
I literally have a joke in my act that I want an athlete to win the Super Bowl and say, I'd like to thank the great Dark Lord for all things possible and point to hell and see how that goes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's one
can
of my
we get a memo
jokes,
to?
And
there...
it's sort of well received sometimes.
Okay.
It makes people uncomfortable.
I think that saying that God has, you know, it's like if you made a milkshake.
Yeah.
And you were like, I just had it. It was delicious. I want to thank God for. Mm-hmm. You know, allowing me to make that. Well, he or she didn't. You just made it.
And if that's okay, I mean, I know it's a joke, but then it should be totally fine. Can you imagine a professional golfer, right? Because golfing, like I've seen so many, you know, whatever. This goes across the board to any sport. If literally, I know it's a joke in my act, but if an athlete were to win the whole thing and say, I would love to thank Buddha or Allah, or you name any other non-Christian deity, the uproar would be insane.
You know,
the uproar would be insane.
It would be.
But it's totally fine to be like, God, 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 which I find to be like, just keep it to yourself.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear that God won the game. I don't want to, like, I want to thank Jesus Christ, the Almighty. And you're just like, oh, geez. I respect people's faith, but it just feels like, all right, just... enough.
Can you imagine if Steve Largent, I hope I'm not dating myself, number 80 for the Seahawks.
I had his poster in my bedroom growing up.
Okay, devout Mormon.
Yeah.
Can you imagine if he said, I want to thank Joseph Smith.
Yeah.
For
finding that tablet
all his
in the middle of
yeah,
the field.
I want to thank Joseph Smith, or if Tom Cruise, someone thank Tom Cruise for being such an
for floating on top of a desk and getting messages through, I think, a hand crank system
from
the Army in 1912.
Is really?
I don't know. It's just whatever.
Is anyone a Scientologist in pro sports?
I'm sure. I don't know.
I would love to find that out.
I feel like there could be some Scientologists. Why not? At least they don't say it.
Oh, secret.
Yeah.
Mm, well, that's telling.
That's all secret.
Yeah.
I did love Aaron Rodgers saying that, though. I have to say, it kind of made me laugh. Because the uproar is ridiculous. Here's a story that did not make me laugh, but it's interesting. So this is the second story that's come out where people – college game day. So college game day is Saturday, college football, and they're usually the four dudes reporting. They'll pick a school. The cameras will be on the fans hanging up signs. You know, this goes across the country, and there's all kinds of different – excuse me, game days. This was Ole Miss, Alabama. Congratulations to Ole Miss for beating Alabama. I was thrilled by that.
Why?
I was thrilled by that because Alabama wins all the time. Mm. And it's just nice to see someone new win.
Underdog story.
An underdog story. And Eli Manning went to Ole Miss. Mm. You know, I love my
I know
sweet,
you
sweet
do.
Eli Manning,
yeah.
Even though he's not having the greatest season so far. Did you know, by the way, Rebecca, that my New York Giants have led in the fourth quarter for the first two games by 10 or more points and have lost both games?
I did not.
That's an NFL record.
I did not know
NFL
that.
NFL record. No team in history has ever done that.
Have you contacted them?
I did write a letter.
Have you sent an edible arrangement? Because I heard the New York Giants love pineapple on a stick.
They do.
Yes, they do.
Well, then I'm going to send a care package.
I think you should seriously send an edible arrangement to the workout facility where they play.
And say, get your shit together. Here's some pineapple.
Yeah. Listen, there's nothing that says I support you and your efforts like an edible arrangement. Now, I don't know if Edible Arrangements is sponsoring this program.
Well, they should.
You may want to consider it right about now.
Have you ever sent or received an edible arrangement?
No, and it's infuriating because I want nothing more than to get one.
Really?
Yes, fresh fruit prepared on sticks, delivered to your door. There's nothing more first world about that.
It's very first world. I always thought an edible arrangement, too, is like, don't they have like, oh, here's your bouquet of flowers, but it's like, why chocolate? And you can eat it? Did I just make that up?
Wait, chocolate arrangements? I don't know.
Isn't there like edible like arrangements that come to your house that are like flowers, but that you can eat them?
I don't know. Can you go? Is there any way?
Carol, get your shit together.
Can we find out if we have?
We can't put this much pressure on Aaron, but he's already doing everything
all
technical.
Right. I just wanted to know about this. If a chocolate arrangement does exist, contact me. Contact me ASAP.
All right.
What?
Here's the story.
Tell it.
ESPN anchor rebuked this image, which was shared on College Game Day's social media accounts. So on College Game Day, on their social media accounts, which is basically Twitter, there is a sign that says, this douche is hanging up the sign, holding up the sign, Old Miss girls are easier than their out-of-conference schedule.
Okay. Well,
it's an Alabama trash fan.
Okay. Guarantees a virgin, first and foremost. Guaranteed. Guaranteed he's a virgin writing it going with a boner.
It's going to be a good one. Seriously.
I can't wait to talk about girls. I mean, okay. Do we have a picture of this kid?
Yeah.
Here let me see.
He just looks like the exact image of a gross frat dude.
Yeah, he basks in the glory of the smell of hot dog water.
He bathes in hot dog water.
He just looks like a disaster.
And there's women around him smiling. Wow. Kill yourself.
Yeah, that's nice stuff.
Yeah, Ole Miss girls are easier than their out-of-conference schedule. Classless. And then reporters were chiming in, and they're getting all this flack on social media. Okay, so the image posted on the official College Game Day social media accounts included the caption, quote, "Just no chill." Now, I guess "just no chill" means not cool. So you're posting the photo, then writing "just no chill," which is not even proper English. Mm-hmm. You said, like, if I have to look up what it is, like, okay, yeah, I'm not 20. But "just no chill," just put 4 emoticons on.
Yeah.
And, but you're posting a photo saying "not cool." But you're posting the photo, and you're giving him this entire platform to write that Ole Miss girls are hookers.
Not thinkers. They're not thinkers. I got booed off stage at Penn State about 8 years ago. And it was at that moment I realized, you know, these college kids are something else nowadays.
Yep.
So nothing really surprises me. And that attitude towards women with these young fellas, I don't know if you ever saw the movie Borat.
No. Wait, Borat?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Borat.
Borat.
I called it Borat.
It's all right. I think it's Borat based on the character, right?
Remember, Borat.
Yeah.
Yeah. That.
I never saw that movie.
You've never seen that
No, I just remember that character on Ali G.
Okay. I'm going to strongly suggest that you watch it because there's a scene where he is in Aaron, have you seen it? Where he's in the bus with 3 college boys. It's 3 or 4 college boys. That actually, that's exactly what I thought of it's just beer drinking, farting, ball scratching, just say some stuff.
Yeah.
Kind of. And it's little tiny Donald Trumps in the making.
Oh, great.
Yeah. So it's not that surprising.
It's so ridiculous that they post this disgusting photo and then put "not cool." Idiots.
Just
like, really? And then there's people calling and be like, clueless, embarrassing. What does it say about your brand and taking reviews on women? And people will just be like, oh, you're taking it too seriously. And then, of course you get backlash. Good morning, America. What are you offended by today? I'm like, of course men post all this. But, you know, God forbid. So then ESPN defended its use of the photo and quoted, our Twitter handle looks to bring the sights and sounds of the college game day experience to the viewer at home and reflect how the fans on site express themselves. Spokeswoman Carrie Potts, a woman.
Wow.
A woman.
Wow.
You can definitely bring the sights and sounds of college game day without being so disrespectful and disgusting.
Correct.
Towards, female college students whose self-esteem, those 4 years, mm-hmm. high school, junior high school, again, no men, they don't think of this because mm-hmm. they have no experience with this. But those women at mm-hmm. that age group are like terrorized. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's such a hard.
And for her to go ahead yeah. and like.
And then
endorse that.
Endorse like, it?
She's probably a lady who's only made love with her face down in the pillow. Being told by
it's
a fella pumping away saying, my house, my rules.
Oh my God.
And she's probably like, this is love. She probably learned about love from Luke and Laura on General Hospital.
Oh.
I know.
Those were the days.
I bring them up a lot.
Those were the days. But, except he had some bad, horrible behavior.
Yeah,
on that
I
show.
Think it was.
Remember
I believe
that rape.
Yeah,
talk?
I believe he raped her, and then yep. they fell in love, and then got married, and then got locked into a mall after hours and tried on clothing.
Yeah, and then the entire time he still had that hair.
Yeah, the hair never changed.
Yeah, and I thought he was a good character actor. I don't know who wrote a rape plot in.
Yeah.
But that hair.
Yeah.
That hair. If today it would have its own Twitter handle.
Yeah.
let's talk about this.
Okay.
This is one of my favorite stories.
Okay.
I just landed, I don't know where I find these things. This is a website called Land of Moms, the place for all things mom. So obviously I don't know why
I'm already hot faced, my back hurts and I have a sweat mustache. Go ahead.
I always thought I wanted kids, but the thought of being a soccer mom, I'd rather throw myself off the balcony.
Yeah, and then they're inside of you and they come out.
but it would be fun to have kids that played sports, obviously. But it seems like this article is on redshirting. Redshirting their kids, not for academic reasons,
uh-huh.
where it started. You would hold, you know, there's been a huge increase in the last 20, 30 years. Where parents hold their kid back, usually happens about kindergarten, to give them more brain power going into kindergarten. So maybe they need a little extra time with stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Hold them back, let them grow a little bit more, and maybe get on the same par academically with the rest of the class.
Okay.
Right? That was the original thought.
Okay.
When you're holding kids back. Now, they adopted the phrase redshirting, which, if you don't know it, redshirting is basically, I don't know exactly how it originated, but for me, it's always been a reference to college football. College, all sports, but specifically, I think, college football, where they would hold, you're a college freshman, right? And you get you wear a red shirt, you're redshirting for the year, and then you keep your year of eligibility. So
redshirting meaning training, following, shadowing.
You can't
you're
play.
In the wings.
You're
you
not
can't
playing.
Play.
You're in the wings. You're training.
You're training.
So, but you keep your year of eligibility,
okay.
so you can go. But next year,
okay.
right? And you've got all this experience. Physically, you're
okay.
bigger. Mentally, everything is better going into your, freshman year of eligibility as a sophomore.
Okay.
Now, this article is saying now there's this new trend that parents are holding their little kids back for athletes to be better athletes when they're five.
Uh-huh.
When they're five, they're redshirting. They're redshirting their kindergartners to be better athletes.
Well, they know where the money is.
They know that
if those kids are better athletes, they're going to likely get a better house.
Boys are most likely to get red shirt instead of girls. Yeah, because women, we don't make any money in sports.
Is it legal? Is this legal?
Yeah. I mean, we can do whatever you want.
Wow.
So this is an ESPN interview. Take out the athletic part of it, he said. If we say, oh, we repeated eighth grade because he's struggling in math, no one would have a problem with it.
Mm-hmm.
That's great parenting. You did a great thing for him. But if you throw sports into it, now all of a sudden some people have a problem with it. Yeah. I mean, you listen, you can do whatever you want to do. I just think, can you imagine sitting down your son or daughter and be like, listen, it's like, it to me, it screams that psycho fucking parent.
Yeah.
That's like, I'm gonna, you're doing really well.
Yeah.
Right? But I'm gonna hold you back.
Yeah.
Now the kid psychologically has to be like, I'm not going to be with my friends. I'm not graduating in the same class. I'm a year older than everybody. I'm going to repeat the eighth grade. I'm going to repeat the seventh grade. I'm going to repeat the fifth grade so I can bulk up in mass and be a better athlete.
Well, the problem I have with it, look, I mean, half the reason that people have kids, let's be really honest. Let's break it. Let's be really, really honest. Half the reason people have kids is, one, because they believe that they're so amazing, they need more of them.
Yeah.
Which is shocking.
Yep.
And two, it's an effort to save their marriage, their loveless marriages. So
wow, Carol just woke up and gave you the thumbs up.
I know
she knows,
and she's back out,
and she's back.
But I mean, the fact that they're doing it, it just shows that they're just trying to live vicariously through something else in order to have self importance. If I were to analyze it, if I were to go down a Dr. Phil road without weird and bald, I would say that that's a big thing. It has everything to do with them and nothing to do with their kids. Now, what if I, for example, I mean, I know in photos I look really developed and slender and tall, but I quit growing when I was 12. So what about those kids that have the DNA of dirt like I have, and they're held back, you know, hoping that, I have the exact same chest size as I did when I was 11.
Wow.
Now my ass and my head keeps growing. But I'm just saying.
By the way, if someone wants to pause this podcast and Google image Rebecca Corey, she's a beautiful lady.
Yeah, stunning.
She's
a stunner.
A little bit short. I also have a bad memory. Everyone's got something.
Okay, look, let's be honest. Appreciate that. Really.
I'm crappy. I have really bad vision. I'm wearing a back belt right now. As I said, I'm wearing a back
belt.
Yes,
but you are a fully developed adult. I'm grossly underdeveloped. So if I, and I have, I played sports.
Yeah.
And I loved
soccer.
Sports.
You played softball?
I played soccer, softball, volleyball, basketball, set a junior high record. I don't want to brag. It's not about me. It's not about me here today. But what I'm saying is, if the DNA that I have prevented me from developing, my feet are tiny. You could cut them off and hang them from your windshield, your rearview mirror. They're tiny little weird things.
You have baby booties.
I have baby booties. And if my parents would have said, you know what, let's redshirt her.
Yeah.
She's certainly going to grow into her face. It would have been a wasted year. I'm worried about this.
I'm worried about this because it's too much pressure on these kids. It's too much pressure on these kids.
And they have no control over their bodies.
They have no control over their body. Maybe they get taller. But you start out with the most important thing is playing sports for the love of it. It's joy.
Yeah.
It's good, positive energy. And what you remember are your teammates. I don't remember my record when I was in sixth grade.
I remember every single thing
dominant.
I ever did.
I was a pretty dominant pitcher. I remember the friendships. High school.
Yeah.
Could I have been a better basketball player if I was redshirted? I guess, but that means not graduating with these people.
I scored
1,200 points. Does that mean not graduating with these people?
This is going to be an ongoing, ongoing thing for the rest of the life of this show ever. You're not a person that has. It's not about accolades and what you. I mean,
it's not about
games?
Accolades.
No, I mean, how many games?
I played
games
basketball in college. You know, until I hurt my back, and then I played another sport. The point is, it's teammates. It's love of the game.
No, it is. It's just the positive energy. I set a record in fifth grade. It's not a big deal. Just saying, could I take anyone to the hole now? Yes, as a grown adult, 44 years old, with the metabolism, bag of hair, and absolutely no stamina. Yes, I could. The point is this. We have to teach our children how to love sports and get along with one another and also excel at it.
The thing is, what I look back on, honest to God, what I look back on is sports shape me. They love it. It's also, as an adult, now I have a crappy back and I don't play a lot, but I still love to shoot around. Whatever I do, I love it. And it makes me feel good. Like, you have, like, natural, what is it, pheromones? No, that's not the right.
Endorphins.
Endorphins.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know what those
are. Pheromones.
I don't know if I have those.
That's what happens when you're at a bar and you're hammered.
Yeah.
You have natural endorphins. Like, listen, I don't want to brag. I played cornhole on my birthday at the Angel City Brewery. Blew away everybody. But it's just, the point is, you get happy. You want to be under that pressure when you're a 12-year-old.
You do not.
Killed
you
everybody
do not.
In the bar.
Listen, my nephew has Wii. Am I a champion on everything? Yes. But the point is this. We played together. And when he lost, I looked at him and said, look, you have weird tiny hands. And yeah, you have an undeveloped body and long legs and a short torso and an enormously large forehead. And when you breathe, try shutting your mouth. But you know what? You gave it everything you had. You gave it everything you
everything.
Had.
Everything.
Parents
you had.
Really need to learn how to teach their kids. It's for the love of the game.
For the love of the game.
And not endorsements.
Oh, my God. Oh, this morning I was walking so fast I blew by a runner. But the point is, I had a back belt on. It's just getting up and feeling good about yourself. God,
it really
these people are
is.
Horrible runners in the
they
morning. I'm going to tell you this, and I said it on the last podcast, but this is, I'm going to say it again. It's just 30 seconds. Okay. My mom, Mary Agnes, called me, and she has stories every week for me for this, and what she calls it is the this would be good for your sports pod, whatever.
Okay.
That's what she calls it.
Okay. The pod,
whatever.
Okay.
But this is the story that trumps the story. Carlos Pena, just retired ball player, Tampa Bay Rays, a couple other teams as well. But, you know, loved Tampa Bay. They were like, you're so positive. You were so positive your whole career. You were such a great teammate. And he's like, it started with my father. My father was so positive. He's like, I played baseball as a kid. I couldn't even hit the ball. I would be foul ball, foul ball, foul ball. And I would come home and my dad would be like, yes, but you're hitting the foul ball so far. Like,
nice.
Like those balls will be fair at some point. But right now, you're just doing so well, even if they are foul balls. This is the antithesis of this, like, oh, you can see these jocks that didn't, you know, get a gold medal.
Yeah.
Oh, holding their son back to get physically better to compete in fucking, you know, horseshoes when you're 12.
My father was the coach of all of my sports. He was
a
coach. Yes, he was. And he's a monster.
Oof.
If I would lose, he would line drive a soccer ball at my face. But you know what it taught me?
It taught me
to duck. And that has worked out well in life because whenever I've gotten swung on from running in my mouth... I can duck. Never have taken one to the face.
Taking a negative and turning it into a positive.
Lemonade into lemons.
Got some facts here.
All right, Aaron, what are the facts?
Carlos Pena played for the Devil Rays and just a couple other 10 teams.
Yeah, but he retired as a Tampa Bay. The Tampa Bay loves him.
Yeah. And he couldn't always hit the ball.
Couldn't always
career
hit the ball.
Career 232.
A lot of foul balls.
Yeah, a lot of foul balls.
They went far, though. They went far.
He had a positive father.
All right, let's transition into this. These stories are unbelievable. This is one of the most ridiculous. It's not ridiculous. It's just so, like, is this happening? I didn't pull this story up. But essentially, this guy got into it. He's a huge, big-time Roger Federer fan. He's 18 years old.
Mm-hmm.
This was 11 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
He gets into a car accident.
Mm-hmm.
Goes into a coma,
mm-hmm.
wakes up about 3 weeks ago, 11 years later, wakes up, and Roger Federer, 11 years later, is in the finals of the U.S. Open, and he was like, not even talking about, the article wasn't even talking about that, like, I just get out of a coma for 11 years. His comments when he got out of the coma were like, oh my God, I'm psyched to see Roger Federer play. I can't believe he's still in the finals after 11 years.
Was he writing
years.
This down or speaking it?
Oh, he was speaking it.
He can speak?
Yeah. The dude got it. The guy, and they were talking about, like, the longevity of Roger Federer's career. I was like, how about a dude was in a coma for 11 years? 11 years.
Wow.
Can you, I mean.
You know what that's proof of? You do not pull the plug.
I had this moment. I'm like, okay, Roger Federer fan reportedly wakes up from 11-year coma to watch idol reach U.S. Open final. And that's, I mean. I literally, when I knew that at 34 years he was still playing in number two in the world, I thought they were kidding me. When I heard he reached 17 grand slam, I just put my hands on the face. He just was like, he just woke up 3 days before the U.S. Open final.
And he's, has anyone contacted Federer about this?
I literally was like, Federer needs to find this man,
yeah, 100%.
And like do something.
Yeah, for sure. Now, if that kid would have been mine, probably 3 years into the coma, I would have said, pull the plug. Let's lock it down. It's too much. But that's proof you don't always follow your gut in that circumstance. That is proof. This kid is living proof right there that
11 years.
Yeah. Yeah.
I literally had a moment where I thought, would I have done that? Like my whatever family member, son, brother, whatever, is in a coma for 11 years.
Mm-hmm.
11 years. And then he just wakes up and he's like, wow, I can't believe Federer's in the finals.
Can you? It's amazing.
It's amazing.
It's amazing.
The whole story, I was just like, is this, it's on ESPN. It's on ESPN.com. I literally was like, what is this?
That's phenomenal. They should really have, is he up and talking? Is he in, is there some sort of, he hasn't moved his body for 11 years. I'm certain he's going to need some rehab.
Yeah. I mean, I literally was like, someone has to connect.
Someone has to connect him.
If it's sports without balls, then it's sports without balls.
Is there anyone we can call or send an edible arrangement to?
I think so.
We need to let Federer know. Who do we know that knows him?
Let's see, just real quick. I know someone that knows Martina Navratilova.
Are you serious?
Who is my dream guest. I just found this out recently that I am 2 degrees away from Martina Navratilova. If you ask me, Aaron Foley. Yeah. I've already discussed
what
this.
What about Fowdy? I thought you loved...
I love Fowdy. But you can't compare Martina Navratilova to Julie Fowdy. Fowdy is also a dream guest. You need to set this up.
Yeah, I do.
But Martina
is
a goddamn dream sequence.
Okay. Okay, so you know someone who knows this person?
Well, I mean, yeah, but I'm not going to get a hold of Martina to be like, hey, connect for... I would get a hold of Martina to be like, I'm taking a plane.
Right.
Get on Sports Without Balls.
Right. Right.
And also, P.S. Federer, there's a guy in a coma.
Right.
Yeah, but that would be like...
Yeah. Let's make sure he's all set first. We don't want anything to be like, hey, did you hear about...
And then he's
like, I'm exhausted.
Okay, talking about... Here's one of my favorite stories.
Uh-oh, what?
Uh-oh. No, he's not back in the... He's
okay,
fine.
Good.
He's going to be
He's
fine.
Okay?
No, he's fine.
I didn't want to make sure he's okay.
Yeah, well, I mean, I didn't follow up.
What's his name?
I don't even.
I just feel nervous.
He's a Spanish dude.
Is he on Twitter?
I don't know. You know what? I'll post his name.
Okay.
And his address.
I just want
to. I am on ESPNW all the time.
Sure.
Because I love my ladies and I love my lady sports.
Sure.
By the way, I know you don't like women's basketball.
Well, I do.
You do and you don't.
Yeah.
I'm gonna literally give you the schedule because we are right in the middle of the WNBA playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Chicago just lost last night to Indiana. Kind of broke my heart because Elena Deladon is one of my all time favorites, and she dropped like 40 points and still lost. Congratulations to Indiana though. Tamika Catchings. These women are fantastic. Anyway, my Liberty and my Sparks are playing.
Yeah.
We're gonna watch these games.
Okay, we'll go. I'm in town. Let's go. I'm not on tour until 2016.
They're technically not playing yet here.
Oh.
LA has to win another game. But if they're anywhere around here, we're going.
Great.
How do you feel about a road trip to Phoenix?
Great.
Okay, great. So I'm on ESPNW, and they always have like really great interviews, really great stories. And so they had this really cool story. Julie Fowdy was interviewing these four like it says how to do awesome things from four sports prodigies. So these four, like, they're all like ages 13, 14, 15, whatever. There's four of them.
Mm-hmm.
It says next generation of sports overachievers shared some wisdom that bellied their young ages at a closing panel of the 2014 ESPN Women in Sports Summit. I was not there. How am I not at an ESPN Women Sports Summit? Anyway, Julie Fowdy hosted the panel. And these are the four things that they came up with. Chloe Kim, the youngest snowboarder, age 13 to ever win an X Games medal. Winter Vanecki, a multi-sport athlete who completed a marathon on every continent at age 14. Sasha D. Julian, who we're going to get to that clip.
Yeah.
World champion rock climber.
Mm-hmm.
They're young people.
Are they being fed roids? There's something weird.
They all were like giggly and positive. I kid you not. I literally was like, I don't even know. These women are, I don't even know.
There's something.
Here's the four things.
What?
Be adventurous.
Uh-huh.
Pursue what you love. Mm. Stick with your own normal. Stick with your own normal. She just climbed a Swiss Alp.
Yeah.
Keep it all in perspective.
Oh.
She. One of them did use the phrase YOLO. That can never be forgiven. But she's young.
How old?
She's like 15. I'll give her YOLO. Listen, here are two things.
Okay.
If you're over 18.
Yeah.
You cannot say YOLO.
Okay.
If you're over 28, 29,
yeah,
and you're a dude, no more skateboarding.
Oh, can I add to that?
Yeah.
If you are over 13 years old and you are riding a skateboard and you do not have an endorsement, you should, one, get off the sidewalk.
I am trying to walk with my back belt.
If you have facial hair and you are on a, if you are carrying, when I see a man on a skateboard with a green drink, like, you're joking.
Yeah.
You are joking. You do not have an endorsement. You're wearing loafers.
Yeah. Yeah. Not dateable, and they probably don't have enough cash in the bank just to get a basic shitty car.
Not okay.
Get a shitty car.
Get a bike.
Listen, I'm going on a date with someone, right?
Yeah.
Man, woman, whatever. I mean, it would be, for me, for a woman, yeah. I'm just saying this applies to straight and gay. Yeah. And a lady pulls up in a shitty car.
Yeah.
I don't fucking care.
Yeah.
Lady pulls up on a skateboard.
Get out. Take your mouth guard and your helmet and get off my porch.
Out.
Yeah. Quit holding your means of transportation. If you can hold
your means of transportation
in your hand,
get out.
Okay.
I want to roll this audio.
Great.
This audio made me laugh so hard. So I'm learning about these fantastic young prodigies. I can barely get out of bed. and there's this woman, the one that they also highlighted, is Sasha DiGiuliani. Sasha DiGiuliani. I apologize because she's an incredible athlete. She literally climbed and completed a climb, scaling a 6,000-foot section of a mountain called Murder Wall.
Mm, mm-hmm.
She's 22. She also just goes. She goes to Columbia.
Uh huh. Not a big deal.
If I wasn't like proud of her, I'd hate her.
Yeah.
I just have to roll. I just have to roll this audio because it's so.
And she's got lovely blonde hair that looks
like,
maybe even
she's
natural.
She's like perfect.
Yeah.
She's like perfect. All right, it's cutting to
scale the Murder Wall,
okay,
which is one of the most dangerous and deadly climbs in the world. Look at that. ABC's Rena Knight has the story.
Listen to this. Just
the Eiger, no ordinary mountain. They call it the Murder Wall. 6,000 feet of death-defying limestone in the Swiss Alps, known for frequent avalanches and sliding rocks. It's one of the world's most dangerous peaks.
There's the Eiger. Shining, it's daunting gloriousness.
And this morning, 22-year-old Sasha DiGiuliani, a Columbia University student, is set to claw her way into the record books, aiming to become the first woman ever to conquer the peak.
This is
if
the best
I
part.
Achieve this,
oh, not
then
this part.
I've proven to myself that something that I didn't know was possible was possible.
Death!
But this mountain, Sasha admits, is different.
I'm kind of scared. Actually, really scared.
These other two climbers who are here. And last night, one of them was telling me about how his friend was climbing here and he died.
I... like, you are climbing what is called the Murder Wall.
Yeah.
Two other climbers... they see each other suspended 4,000 feet on the Murder Wall. P.S.
Yeah.
Hey, my friend died trying to do this.
Good luck. keep it in perspective. Keep it in perspective. Keep.
I would have kicked that dude off the mountain. Be like, now both of you are dead. Who the hell says that? Why would you ever? You would never say that in a million years.
It is. I'm gonna just say it. It's rude. Now, what bothers me is that she doesn't ever address her response to that.
Yeah.
That's what I'm more interested in than anything
totally.
Else. Was she hanging there with, you know, suspended in midair, you know, clinging to life, and then was like, what? And then he was like yelling.
What?
No, he died. He keep going, but he died. He fell off. And then she was like, I can't hear you.
It's windy.
It's windy.
There's boulders by my face. What did you just say?
And then he's like, death, death. He died. Just keep going. You're doing really good. Double check your rope. Okay.
Because my buddy's rope broke.
And then she was like,
what?
Wait, do I have a smoke? No, I can't smoke at this. Can't. And then once she realized that he said he said death, died, was she kind of like, okay, okay, I'll see you later. Thank you. And like, just, I mean, it's the response. What do you, yeah. And she's saying this, by the way,
this is an interview up in the, this just happened. It was a couple weeks ago. By the way, she's fine. She did it. First woman ever to do this.
Amazing.
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 Fantastic.
Amazing.
But you have to put up with enough.
Ugh.
It's
just not okay.
This isn't the best example, but it's like, you know what? It's like you have a moment in your life where you're like, I'm gonna make some changes. Like, I'm going to get up every morning at 5 a.m. Mm-hmm. and I'm going to run 10 miles, and this is what I'm going to do, and it's going to change my life. Mm-hmm. And the first day you get up, and every day you get up, someone's over your bed being like, don't get up! Sleep
well,
in!
You know,
you'll ruin your knees!
Yeah.
People just scream, like...
I one time I had, I don't know what exactly caused it, I have a couple theories, but I had these tiny, minuscule cuts on my butt. And I went to the doctor. I know it's a lot to talk about, but if there's other people out there who've experienced butt cuts, I don't want you to know you're not alone. But I went to Toluca Lake and I had seen a doctor. It was an Asian fella. I went in at 10 a.m. and it was study hall lighting, 10 a.m. Ooh. And he's like, roll over and I need to check your butt. And he did. And I was, you know, there was like a clear pipe involved and other stuff. And it was uncomfortable and awkward. Yeah, it was unfortunate.
Trying to get clear pipe around my head.
Yeah,
sorry,
no one needs to actually really focus on that part of the story.
No, okay, yeah.
And then when we were all done, he was like, you know, I'm going to give you this ointment, and I'm going to suggest you don't go in chlorine, and you know, check back in a few weeks. But I do want to ask you.
Yeah.
Have you been checked for herpes or any venereal disease? And I was like, absolutely not. There's no reason. I mean, I don't leave my apartment and I'm pretty sure I'm dead from the waist down. So it's absolutely impossible. And he strongly suggested that I go and get a blood test and be checked. And it was really scary. And that's why I feel like, and I know it seems like a really far analogy.
Can't
from
wait
her.
For you to tie this in.
I'm going to tie it in. Here she is. Dealing with one problem. That problem is getting to the top of that mountain.
I just saw where you're going with it.
And while she's there, overcoming that obstacle, which is very similar to the obstacle I was overcoming. Similar to my doctor saying, hey, you know, the butt cuts are one thing. Here's an ointment. I'm going to suggest you also get checked for a venereal disease. You know, it was an added, I'm just saying, my point is this, it was an added element.
Hurdle.
Hurdle
yeah.
and fear.
And fear.
That you did not,
no.
not only not expect,
yeah.
you certainly did not need.
No, yes, yes. No, so, listen, that was, you tied it in.
Thank you.
It's very similar. you know, Also, there's a couple things I'll never forget or get out of my head. Butt cuts. I don't think that'll
it
ever...
The point is,
you're expecting this, you get something else, you're hanging from a rock 4,000 feet above air, and someone's like, we're probably going to die.
Yeah.
But it's all difficult.
You keep your head down.
Head down.
You use...
Well, for her, head up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You just keep moving forward and
keep moving forward.
Positively.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like when I had 1,199 points, I was like, I got to get, you know, to 1,200.
Not that you counted.
No. It's actually on a plaque. Anyway, the point is, you got to love what you do.
Yeah.
You got to love
for
what you
do. The love of the game. The love of the game. Isn't that a slogan?
Sure.
For the love of the game.
Yeah.
I think
it's also a Kevin Costner film.
It's a Kevin Costner film.
Oh, that's right. Wonderful work he did in that picture.
He also, I think, smoked about a ton of weed and did Draft Day.
Oh.
I saw that on a plane.
Great.
I think it was called Draft Day.
Love his work.
Yeah. No, he's great.
Yeah.
He's great. You know, I don't know. I'm just going to ask you a couple questions and then we're going to do Feel Good Moment of the Week. We're going into the fall.
Yeah.
Do you watch, now I know you watch some NBA basketball.
Mm-hmm.
Do you watch any football? Are you a football fan at all?
I don't. I mean, sometimes I do. Football is more of a thing. This is going to be wildly offensive to you, but I love it in the background. It brings back the memories of my dad and my mom before they divorced. And
that's not wildly offensive at all.
No.
My sister says that, too.
Really? Just having it in the background?
She puts it on the background, and she has, like, warm memories of, like, growing up and Sunday football's on.
Yeah, it's like Sunday football, and, and then I'll drink lots of beer.
Good.
And eat some cheese.
Yes.
And, I like to watch, sometimes it gets, I get really bored with a running game.
Yeah.
I like it when they got to throw the pig skin.
Throw the pig skin.
I don't.
Yeah. Well, I'll come over and we'll watch a New York Times game.
Okay. Okay.
And what's going to happen is the Giants will be up about 28, and there'll be about 8 minutes left, and we'll blow it.
Okay.
Okay. And then I'm not fun to be around.
Okay.
Not fun to be around.
It gets pear shaped.
Oh, real quick.
Like normal.
Yeah.
You're normal, then immediately pear shaped.
That's why I don't really watch the games with anybody.
Okay.
I watch the Giants collapse on my birthday.
Okay.
They lost on my birthday.
Okay.
I had some people over, and then I screamed, everybody out.
Okay.
And they're like, wow, Foley, you're always making people. No.
And you're like, get out.
Everybody out.
Yeah.
I apologized.
Good.
I apologized. And I needed everybody out.
Yeah.
Because I needed to process.
Sure.
That meltdown while having a meltdown.
Well, everyone processes pain differently.
Yeah. Yep.
So I think that's fair.
It's true.
Yeah.
It's going to be a great season. It's going to be a great season. We'll do lots of football throughout the season. We've reached the feel-good moment of the week.
Okay.
Now, a couple shout-outs. Before we do the feel-good moment of the week, my buddy Katie Nolan has a show called Garbage Time. It's on Wednesdays now at Fox. I do believe it's either 9 or 9:30. It was on Sundays. She's in season 2. Katie Nolan, super funny, super great, talk sports, Fox Sports 1. Mm. Watch her show. It's called Garbage Time, if you haven't seen it. And you can go back and watch all of season 1 online. So that's one shout out. Another shout out is people have been leaving fantastic reviews. Just a couple shout outs to our fans of the show. I try to read as many as I can, and I've dropped the ball a little bit, so I'm picking up the ball. This is a great one. This is Kay Waxland. I wish I knew your full name. Erin and her guests have great insight on the Big Four sports, plus others that the four-letter network won't talk about. I could, and I have listened to her talk tennis for 50 minutes. Erin has a great taste in women. Hello, U.S. Women's National Team. Thank you. She could use a better fact-checker. How about me? One more request. More Trish Sir. That's adorable. Oh. Trish Sir is a big fan of the show. Big
Spirit
friend
fingers.
Of the show.
Spirit
so
fingers.
Kay Waxland, I wish I knew your first name. It's probably a lady. I'm going to say Katie.
Mm-hmm.
Krishna. That was weird. Waxland. Wax. I wonder if your nickname is Wax. Thank you so much for leaving the review. Go to the iTunes page. Leave a review. We'll say your name and read the review every podcast, which is super fun. Feel good moment of the week.
Mm.
I stumbled across this.
Mm-hmm.
Derek Jeter, you know my love.
Uh-huh.
I just want to play catch with Derek Jeter.
Yeah.
I forgot that he had started. I heard about it, and then I didn't realize it's in full swing. A website called theplayerstribune.com.
Mm-hmm.
I was in one article, and it gave me this article, and it's all articles about athletes from their perspective. They actually write the articles.
Oh.
And it's really cool. And so there's all kinds of really good human interest stories, some highlights and stuff, but mostly articles about the player's experience,
mm-hmm.
Through their eyes using their words, which is super cool. So I found this story. And the feel-good moment of the week is a man, a wonderful, fantastic hockey player that I watched for the Chicago Blackhawks because they just won the Stanley Cup, Daniel Carrillo. That's not his last name. Feel-good moment of the week, Daniel Carcillo. It could be a second C with the hard, but I'm going to say Daniel Carcillo. He started a foundation called Chapter 5. And his really good friend, a teammate, Steve Montador, which I remember reading about, died at the age of 35, had that CTE where you have so many concussions where you literally like suffer from depression and anxiety. And so because of the loss of his teammate, Steve, he was always questioning, like, how do we help guys with stress and anxiety that comes with losing the only identity they've had for 16 years old? Since they've been 16. So his whole organization is dealing with, he just retired, dealing with retired athletes that suffer from like depression,
great.
Anxiety. Now it's sort of like, now what do we do? And they have no identity, and they're really like,
yeah.
So his organization is to help athletes transition to the next phase of their life. Do they want more education? Do they want internships with companies? And networking with other athletes dealing with the same issues,
mm-hmm.
which I think Man Woman is fantastic because
phenomenal.
We glorify all them. We pay them all this money. Most of their careers are short-lived, especially with hockey and football. Like, they're so...
Very aggressive, yeah.
So aggressive. And to find, like, he just retired, but to find a purpose after you retire to help other athletes find their purpose, their second round of career in life is just super wonderful.
Yeah, I wish there was more of that.
I mean,
it should have been happening a lot. It should have been,
yeah.
In my opinion, should be provided by
yes,
the NFL, the NBA, NHL, all of it should be helping these people after, but. That's great.
We throw bags of money at them. We want them to be like these gladiators.
Yep.
And then they leave or they get cut or they spend 6-7 years in the league, 10 years in the league. They give everything for us. And then they're, you know what I mean? You hope they have enough money where they can get help.
Right.
But he was saying another great angle he was saying is it's frowned upon. Especially with this, with hockey and football, guys aren't going to reach out and be like, "Listen, I'm kind of depressed. I don't know what to do with my."
Why like, it's weakness? It's seen as weak.
Yeah.
Oh
yeah,
man.
Yeah.
Rub some dirt in it. Walk it off.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, that's what you're taught, and so they're and also compiled with this whole CTE that is baseball, football, whatever it is. It's just it's a wonderful thing to do. With your life. So Daniel Carcillo, thank you. That's an amazing, it's an amazing thing.
Tremendous.
It's a feel-good moment of the week. And give and look up Chapter 5 and give money.
And this is Chicago-based?
Chicago-based, yeah.
That's
well,
amazing.
I mean, it'll be, but yeah, he did it in Chicago. He had this huge kickoff 2 weeks ago because it was his turn to have the Stanley Cup.
Mm-hmm.
You know how they all
go? Yeah.
And he used his moment with the Stanley Cup to throw the opening of Chapter 5 to throw this huge
amazing.
Benefit of come in, put your hands on the Stanley Cup, donate
amazing.
Money to this cause.
It's great. Brian Bickle, amazing. Isn't that a Blackhawk hockey player?
Maybe.
Yeah, he is a big... The Bickle Foundation is also a nonprofit that stands up for pit bulls.
That's
they do
awesome.
A lot of amazing work.
Yeah.
He just took in 16 dogs from a dog fighting ring.
So
and
amazing.
And is rehabilitating and getting them out.
And these are two good stories. I don't want to bring it down, but there's another Chicago Blackhawk, Patrick Kane, who's one of my favorite, who's now just accused of raping a woman in the offseason. That's what he's done with
okay.
his time.
All right.
And he's... Listen, I'm not saying he did it, but I'm just saying it's disgusting
yeah.
to even put yourself in that position. So you have all these good stories trumping that story, and I'm telling you, the Kane story will be on, you know, No one knows about this story, but the Kane story will be on every...
Of course.
So there are good stories about athletes doing good out there and not just the gross people that are gross.
Right.
So that, anyway, that felt like I was talking to you for 5 minutes and 70 minutes. So you're fantastic. Where can people find Rebecca Corey?
When I'm not laying in urine crying, you can find me. It's at least 5 different locations around the country per year. and you can also go to find out when Stand Up for Pitts is coming to your city. It's standupforpitts.us. And you can follow us on, you know, Twitter. I think I for the last 5 years, I've had under 9,000 followers. So things are growing.
Things are growing.
And follow us on Instagram under Rebecca Corey. And then I post updates and stuff there, too.
Okay. Rebecca Corey, Stand Up for Pitts. Thank you for being so wonderful.
Thank you for having me. I love the show. I love you. I love everything about it.
I love it, too. Aaron, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank
Hashtag
you.
Butt cuts.
Hashtag butt cuts. That's a good way to end it.
All right.
Carol, thanks for waking up at some point
and
in
Angel,
the episode.
Thank
and
you for Angel. All your input, my love.
Yeah, Angel really was a major force behind this podcast.
I love her.
Sports Without Balls fans, have the best week of your life.